The Yas Marina Circuit in Abu Dhabi is no stranger to motorsport memories. At the heart of those memories are usually the big names like Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen, and Sebastian Vettel. But now, a new type of race, without humans behind the wheel, is about to take place at Yas Marina. Autonomous vehicles will hit the track on April 27th, and the Abu Dhabi Autonomous Racing League, also known as A2RL, will leave its mark on motorsport history. I'm your host, Cody Combs, and in this Business Extra podcast, we'll take a closer look at the upcoming and unconventional autonomous race, and we'll learn more about the autonomous technology behind it, and how it could pave the way, pun intended, for the future of transportation and artificial intelligence. Joining me now to discuss the groundbreaking and upcoming Abu Dhabi Autonomous Racing League, Thomas McCarthy. He's executive director of Aspire. That's the program management business development pillar of the Technology Research Council, which created and organized this race. Tom, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Cody. Nice to be here.
Now, we've already introduced it a little bit, but what is so special about this race and how did it make its way to the UAE, which is no stranger to AI or technological ambition?
Okay, well, I guess it was born in the heritage of Aspire. And as you know, Aspire is part of the Advanced Technology Research Council, which has the mission to drive the transformation of the economy of Abu Dhabi so that we see in future diversified production taking place in sectors like agriculture, healthcare, and transportation. And we see that autonomous technology has huge potential on the roads. And it's in that sense that we decided, how are we going to demonstrate the potential for such technology? And that led to us establishing what we called a grand challenge with this race. Is how can we use a race format, an extreme racing format, to demonstrate the potential of autonomous robotics and AI and the potential it has for future road transportation?
So there's no racers. Are the teams behind the scenes, are they pounding away at their keyboards right now as we speak, coding, trying to get a competitive advantage? How does it work?
Well, I guess that it's probably wrong to say that there are no racers. There are humans behind this coding, right? So I often say that, you know, when you get on an airplane today, there's so much autonomous technology in it, and we don't say it's without a pilot. There is a pilot there, but it's performing a different role. So our racers are coders. They're behind the scene. When you see a Formula One race, you will often see a switch between the driver and the backroom team sending instructions down the line to the ear of the driver to do things. We're kind of switching it out. The backroom team are now inside in the car in the form of a code. They're taking all of the information that's coming in from the sensors and from the LiDAR and cameras and radar and GPS. And then they're using the coding instructions that the pilot has given it to learn that track and to race around the track. In the meantime, that pilot, that coder, is sitting back in the garage with his or her arms folded and just seeing how things are evolving out there on the track.
How many teams are there and how do these teams come together? Are they from the UAE? Are they from around the world?
So teams come from all over the world. There are 8 teams competing. We launched last March 2023, and we invited teams from all over the world to make application to us. And then they went through a detailed interview and development process because they had to satisfy a number of conditions. They had to have the coding capability, but they also had to have the motorsport knowledge to be able to qualify. So 8 teams came through. 2 teams from Italy, 1 from Milan, 1 from Modena. 1 team from Germany, they come from Technical University of Munich. 1 team from Switzerland, they come from the Constructor Group, Constructor University. 1 team from Hungary, from HUMDA, the Hungarian Mobility Development Agency. 1 team from Singapore, and 1 team, which is a joint team between the Beijing Institute of Technology in China and Khalifa University here. So 8 global teams competing in one race in April 27th.
So correct me if I'm wrong, it looks like there's a, for lack of a better word, a base model that they all have to use. They can't just plop down any vehicle on 4 wheels that they want. It looks like you have a relatively standard...
Absolutely. But I don't know if I'd use the word standard. This is a special car, right? So what we sought to do, as I said at the beginning, we wanted to show and test the capability of this technology at the extreme. So we thought, well, the only way you could do it at the extreme is get the fastest open-wheel racer car that can be raced as one design. Now, problem with Formula One cars, they're not one design. They're all different. So the fastest and very close to Formula One performance is something called the Super Formula car that was developed by the Italian company Dallara for the Japan Race Promotion Series. So we approached Dallara and we approached Japan Race Promotion, and they allowed us to take the Super Formula 23, which was launched actually 12 months ago today in the Fuji circuit last year. That car rolled off and had its first race in Fuji in the first race of the Japan Race Promotion Series 2023. They let us take that car and adapt it to build an autonomous car. Where the driver is, we've put in a set of a drive-by-wire system with actuators, that is brakes, accelerators, steering that can be controlled through a computer. And then on top of that, we've put, and I'll describe in a bit more detail in a moment, a perception kit that picks up all the information through its cameras, through its radar and its LiDAR. And then it all is fed into a computer with all of the other data, and the car operates. Now, we're branding this car, and exclusively today I can announce that we're going to be calling this car the Emirates Autonomous Vehicle 2024. So the EAV24, revealing exclusively here today, will be the name of the autonomous version of the Super Formula car that we have developed here for racing on the track. Now, the thing about it is the exact same car no matter which team it is. And we take so much care in this that only our engineers and only our mechanics can set the car up. The teams can't even bring a spanner into the garage. So we're so careful and precise that every car will be identical in every respect. And then it is only the coding. This is a test of the ability of the coders. And this is a test of the AI that develops from their learning to race against each other. So that's the car, and it is genuinely a supercar, the EAV24.
Forgive the amateurish question. Is it quiet, or does it have a...
That's not an amateur question. It was a really important question, because everybody assumed that because we were doing something different, that we would use an electric vehicle. And we decided, look, when you make changes in technology, you have to do things one step at a time. All right. So for us, yes, sustainability is a big issue for us. This particular car, the EAV24, is built with compostable materials, and it is, you know, built to very high sustainability standards. But we chose to use a petrol engine in this. So yes, there is a lot of banging and there is a lot of noise from this engine. So in fact, if you pass by the circuit at the moment, you'll hear a lot of noise coming from the circuit. In time, we will see, because this is the first race, and I'll talk a little bit more about the series in a moment, but this is the very first step in what we are doing. We're building now a test bed, a platform on which future technology innovations will be tested. And we see in the longer term us developing our own sustainable type of engine, but we do want it to be noisy as well.
So what are the team dynamics like? You touched on it a little bit, that it's all about the coding. What does it look like behind the scenes? Because you're kind of watching this all come together in
sure.
real time.
Yeah, that's a really unique thing about this, because, you know, with Formula One, the caravan and the circus come into town a week in advance, and they're on the track from the Thursday, then Friday, Saturday, qualifying and Sunday. Here, the teams came on site on the 5th of March. And they all got to meet each other. So the teams will have, you know, 10 to 20 people in them across various functions. They all came together here, met each other, got introduced to their cars. First thing we did is brought them over to the vehicle dynamic area. They got to, you know, get used to the car in the garage, then get it going around cones, then brought them over to the track. The dynamic is interesting because all of these guys, in one form or another, researchers, technologists, and science, the history of science and technology development is about cooperation when cooperation is needed, and then competition when that's needed. And this has been super, the way we've seen people cooperating with each other on their development and their learning. So we'd be putting a number of teams together, getting certain teams to lead off and demonstrating what they'd learned to other teams. So throughout March, it was fascinating to see that joint learning. Now in the past week, we started seeing the performance levels go up. You know, I was expecting certain things to happen this week that I saw happening last week, you know, some of the performance. So this, from today now until the 27th, they're on track all the time, 9 a.m. in the morning to midnight. And wow, do they work. They don't want to go home. We have to kind of try to persuade them to close the garage for a few hours and go and rest and recuperate. But they'll go back to the hotel, or they'll go into their data center and start keeping working. But it's the dynamic is evolving. I'm expecting to see over the next 10 days that the focus is coming on the final days, the pre-qualifying, the qualifying races, and ultimately the races. But it's a fascinating dynamic within teams, across teams, culturally, the way the teams operate. But I think this points to another really big and important point, and that is the human role in the coding. Because people say to me, isn't this just going to be machine learning and then it's going to be the same and everybody's going to be the same? And that couldn't be further from the truth, because the programming involves a number of elements. It involved one particularly important element we call the planning module. And the planning module is the module that helps you, you know, is the instructions about how to race, what to do when you see an opportunity to pass out, whether to be risk-taking or risk-avoiding. And depending on the personality of the coder, the code that's put in there, and therefore the behavior of the car, would be different. So we see already the personalities across the teams being quite different. So therefore, we're expecting that to be reflected in the coding and therefore the performance of the car. Not unlike Formula One, where you get different personalities on the track.
Well, speaking of Formula One, I'm just curious, have any of these professional motorsport athletes weighed in on this? Have they taken a look at what you're doing and made any comments? Because, I mean, ultimately, I don't think their jobs are at risk. They are amazing in what they do, and the human element is very important, but they've got to be a little bit amazed by this.
Sure. And the first thing is, there is no way we see ourselves as seeking to move away the human driving the car. That gladiatorial element is something that we love ourselves, you know, so we love this. This is about enhancing a different experience. Great question about the human element. So we, in terms of developing the prototype, and I have to say, our colleagues in the Advanced Robotics Research Center in TII were just amazing what they helped to do. Remember, to transform the Super Formula car into the Emirates Autonomous Vehicle 24 took such ingenuity and commitment, and our colleagues in TII did that. And one of the things that they did as well is to actually use a human-driven version of the car to shake down. And we've put in some pretty good drivers into that. And we've, the former Red Bull driver, Formula One driver, Danny Kvyat, has been driving. And just to give everybody, a feeling of a driver against autonomy, on the day of the race, I can announce that our colleagues in TII are going to do a special demonstration of man versus machine. So Danny Kvyat is going to come in and drive a car against TII's car, and you're going to see, they're going to reveal everything they're going to do, but there is some amazing stuff I know they can do. So we're going to have the first man versus machine live event in between the final races on the Saturday the 27th.
Who do you think is going to win that?
Look, I think we've got to be realistic here and understand that we're going these things one step at a time, right? And so I know from the track times that have been in that the human is still, I know what Danny has already posted. I know what the best can post. There is a gap, but the gap is getting smaller, which is crazy. But you got to understand that there's one thing that a brilliant driver like Danny Kvyat has, and it's what I call body sensitivity. You're sitting inches from the ground, and there's certain things you can feel that, as of now, we haven't been able to code that in. You know, the AI isn't still learning that particular part, and that gives a certain advantage in performance. And in fact, Danny was superb for us in setting up the EAV24, because his driving of the human version of the car and the feedback he gave us was super to actually develop the actual final spec of the car. So yeah, it has a bit to go, but I have been stunned by how quickly the gap has been narrowing. And I'm really looking forward to the 27th and seeing how close it can actually get to Danny.
As for the autonomous vehicles and when that race gets underway, I have to ask, you know, part of the intrigue of a lot of these races is, you know, how close they are together, how fast they're going, and the fact that, not to be morbid, but they might crash. Mm. That could happen. There's always that in the air. Will these autonomous vehicles crash?
Just like Formula One, there is a huge unknown in motorsport. So there are crashes in Formula One. there can be clashes in autonomous racing. Have cars crashed in practice? Yes, of course they have. Right. And just to give a sense of what you'll see, you know, when you go to the Formula One race, you see the big races often tends to be the qualifying races beforehand, where they're going out doing speed trials to get their place on the grid, to get their final place in the grid. And you will see that as part of our final races, where the teams have to put in the speed runs. But what you will also see for the very first time, an attempt to have four autonomous cars on the track together at the same time. There's never been more than two autonomous cars together on a track before. So we want to push to that next level. And of course, with that comes the risk that there will be crash, because the big thing, of course, when cars on a track together is one car tries to pass out another. And that's a very complicated move. So, you know, that's the last race. That's where the trills and spills are there. But I guess one of the things I often like to emphasize is that while we're doing this in a sporting and entertainment platform, our really driving motivation goes back to what the mission of ATRC is, you know, that we are here to bring about transformation of the economy. So we see autonomous robotics and AI as being part of the cars you and I drive in the future. We don't see the future as being driverless. Everybody keeps promising that everything will be driverless by 23 or 25. And we think that's the wrong way to approach things. We believe that there is a huge potential that autonomous technologies have to improve road safety. There are millions of accidents every year. There are millions of people killed on roads throughout the world. The focus has been on what's called secondary safety. In other words, what happens after the crash. We want to bring the focus back to primary safety. We want to improve driving so that crashes don't happen. And we believe that can happen if you and I are prepared to accept a co-pilot that is autonomous. So by mounting these races, we do two things. We push the capabilities of the technology, and we also include in the general public. And to get the general public having a real feel, we have developed an app that we will be releasing prior to the race. And we've developed a VR experience that's way more advanced than anything that the industry has out there, including what Apple are announcing as a mock-up recently. But you'll be able to put on a headset and have a VR experience from anywhere in the world, and you can jump into any one of those cars. So while there won't be a human in that car, you can, through the VR headset, be in any one of the cars. Our VR app is so good. You got this, you know, you're floating over the track, you're looking at the cars racing, and you can then choose to be in any one of those cars, and you will have a complete, I would advise to be sitting down when it is, because I was doing it the other day, and you could actually feel the G-forces. You know, when the car is going around the side, you could feel. And when the car brakes, you kind of felt yourself going forward. It's an amazing experience. And we're doing that so that people can feel what it's like to be in there. They're not just looking at it on a TV screen. Sure, we're broadcasting through the YouTube channels and through Stage and through the Motorsport Network. But we want people to feel what it's like to be in the car. You can come along to the track. You can actually have that VR experience at the track as well. We have the tickets are setting out, we're giving everybody the tickets free this year, but the demand for tickets is enormous. And as well as seeing what the future of road transportation can be, I think you can get a wonderful afternoon's entertainment and immersive experience. But I guess I can't overemphasize, we're doing this because we would like people to look back in 10 years from now and say, the roads are safer throughout the world because of what was started by A2RL. And what's been started by A2RL this month is motor racing. We will be announcing our next step, which will be drone racing. And we're going to race across many platforms autonomously. And we will be announcing the details of our first drone race after the event on the 27th.
Just two more questions, if I may. I know the 27th is approaching and your time is increasingly valuable with a lot of these interviews. To what extent does AI play a role?
Well, AI is critical to this because you set something up, you set the physical car up, you set the coding up, right? The more that car goes around, the more it learns. And that's where the AI is in here. So, you know, every time that car practices on that track, it learns something new about that track. Every time it goes out against another car and pass out, it banks that, and then that adjusts its behavior next time. Just like you and I, when we drive, you know, you think about it that when you started driving first, you hold the steering wheel too hard, you're very tight, and then you drive a road constantly and you become so aware of it. The difference here is that the driver never gets tired. The AI never gets tired, and the AI never forgets. So there's a constant improvement. And that's so the more and more we race, the more over time, the more that can be done, and therefore the more enhanced the capability of the autonomous driver.
What has interest been so far? How many people do you see potentially attending this and or watching it?
We have 10,000 spots available on the track here. And I can tell you that I really encourage people to register, because I just looked at registrations before I came in here, and they are filling up fast. And I would certainly encourage people to get on as soon as possible. I would also encourage people at the malls. We're going to be doing lots of activations, so they'll see some of the stuff that we're doing online as well. If you can't be here physically in Abu Dhabi on the 27th, please register, and you will also get go on to our a2rl.io, and you'll get details of how you can download our app and how you can actually have a full experience no matter where you are in the world. So you can actually see the broadcast through our app. We are developing features in our app that you're going to be able to go into a ghost car and actually race against the cars. Or, as I say, you can, if you've got your VR goggles, you can actually get into one of the cars and race yourself. So there's a lot for everyone, both physically on the track on the day, but also online. The experience is rich again.
Thomas McCarthy, Executive Director of Aspire, thanks so much for joining us on this edition of Business Extra.
Thank you, Cody.
That's it for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. Please remember to follow us wherever you get your podcasting content so you can receive all of our episodes as soon as they come out. This episode was produced by Doa Farid and Arthur Edison. I'm your host, Cody Combs.